I'm feeling like, you know, when I get when I'm, you know, I'm just in one of those weird moods. But actually, I think that's better when I'm recording, when I'm not too hyper.
Yeah, I'm in a weird mood actually. I'm like, ooh.
And I just feel a bit, you'll put me as two, and I just feel a bit like tired after last night. Like, I'm not used to going out.
Yeah, that's late. Welcome to Girls on the Piece, your weekly ski fix with Bella Syme and me, Emma Woodward.
That's the last time we're saying that.
Yeah.
So, it's the season finale. We hope you've enjoyed the pod over the last 14 weeks, and we hope it's been a bit of a substitute for the lack of actual skiing this winter.
This episode will run through our fave moments of the series and of the winter season, or lack of, and find out our top guest moments, what we're looking forward to next winter, our most popular teleporting place that we asked everyone, and more.
And we'll be back for series two on the 1st of June. But until then, we hope you enjoy our final episode of season one. How far we've come. I can't believe we've done this for 14 weeks now.
I know, it seems it's gone quite fast, but also Christmas does seem a long time ago.
Also, I'm quite jealous that you got to say our line for the last time.
Oh, soz.
No, I love it.
You can say bye at the end.
Thanks. Cheers.
Bells, how was your birthday last week?
On the big birthday, the big 3-4. Yeah, it was my second lockdown. Well, we're not really in lockdown anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But my second sort of, you know, whatever birthday. And so Rupert just cooked me a very nice meal and it was very relaxed, thank you. Nothing too riveting.
Oh, so a very nice cake.
Yes, that's true. He did. It was a multicolored cake. He also wrapped all of my presents in unicorn wrapping paper, which obviously, he knows me too well.
Aww. Very nice.
And I've just been given this by Emily, which is obviously very me.
Wow, that's so cool. The unicorn on the back, a denim jacket.
Yeah, very exactly. Nice. So for the listeners, this is my painted pink unicorn denim jacket that I'm going to wear to Annabelle's this afternoon for our meeting.
Nice. Very trends.
Excited about that. So yes, and a unicorn cake. So basically all round, I am not a three-year-old, but others may think I was. You're off to the Lake District next week.
Yeah, on Saturday. Yeah, it's all going back to normal, isn't it? You know, you can get your hair cut and get your nails done, and we're going somewhere that isn't our house. So yeah, that'll be lovely. I'm excited. Never been to the Lake District, so it'll be cool. Yeah, it's Will's 40th, so we are going for a little holiday. Just two of us and the dogs.
Lovely. And I think the Lake District is such a great shout. Obviously, you know I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally more sheep than people. You're going to love it. And the pub
open.
And
Yeah, we can go and have a pint and all sorts. Lots of walks. Going fishing. Yeah, be good.
And you could go to Helvellyn, you know, the ski slope I told you about.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
I don't know if there's much snow on there anymore.
No.
But you can always walk with the dogs and check it out.
Am I going to have a look? Yeah.
Have a little picnic. You should take a rucksack, pack a rucksack.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, we'd love to be sunning ourselves in the Alps right now, to be honest, because it's end of the season, Easter. I love that time of year in the Alps, this time of year in the Alps. Shame we're not there, really, but, you know, can't complain.
I know, it is a great time of year. I always, as a kid, my memories are very lucky skiing over my birthday. It was always kind of skiing, you know, as you say, sunny, beautiful, warmer weather to ski in. And it's much more pleasurable skiing at this time of year because you're not freezing your ass off. And, you know, you can ski in, you know, less layers and sit outside and you're just in the fresh outdoor air all day long with the sun shining on you.
So nice. Yeah, what are your spring skiing, what should I say, tips or favourite things or both?
Well, from a skiing point of view, I would recommend always at this time of year, it's all about getting out early and finishing early. The minute the sun hits the snow, it just warms it up quick and turns to slush. So it's all about getting out early, finishing for lunch, and then really just enjoying the afternoon, no pressure to ski. So on piste, you do get slushy snow quickly, and that can become very moguly. So it's best to, if you're learning still, not to stay out late. And then off piste, I would say safety-wise is key. It's different to other times of year. If it gets too hot quickly by midday, the sun's baked, the snow's dangerous. And the minute also the sun hits the snow, you then get this, when it gets baked, cooked, you get this crispy layer, and it's really hard to ski, really easy to catch an edge. And then if the snow then turns to slush, it's super heavy, and actually it's dangerous. Not only from an avalanche point of view, but also for you as a skier, you know, it's a lot. It's quite prone to catching an edge and breaking your knee, snapping your knee or your ankle or your leg or whatever. So actually, just all round, be careful, even though it's so glorious. Top tips for skiing spring snow, you know, as the day progresses, ski in the shade, you know, the shady slopes, the snow stays better for longer. The dream spring snow that people always talk about that I love is the snow that's just got that little layer of soft snow on top and then it's quite firm underneath. So it's quite a unique feeling. And it is one of my favorite things to ski spring snow, but it's a fine line and timing is everything to get it perfectly right. If you're too early, the snow is hard as ice. And if you're too late, it's too heavy and slushy. So you can't turn in it and it's bloody tiring. And the snow starts melting. But yeah, what about you, Ems? Your favourite things and tips for spring skiing?
Wear sunscreen.
Oh my God, you're so right.
I mean, pretty much what you said. I mean, top ski resorts in April, I'd probably say, you know, anywhere Snowshore with a glacier, preferably Val d'Isère, Tiene, St Anton, Verbier, Zermatt, Sas Fay is good, Obergurgle, Hinds Tux, and Chamonix. Like the Argentier Glacier. Yeah, they're good ones. But I mean, anyway, like if you go to the Three Valleys, you've got such a huge area to ski anyway. And if you're just happy to little potter around and go for lunch, then anywhere's nice really at that time of year.
I agree. I mean, Rue and I, a few years back for my birthday, we were skiing in Megève, which is known as quite a low unsnowshore resort. But we just ski toured a lot and had long lunches and skied early. And as long as you just know that, don't expect to ski 9 till 5. And just enjoy a different type of ski holiday. It's lovely.
Also, it's prime time for places like Greenland, Alaska, Norway, Rix Granson, where we mentioned last week.
Sweden.
With Gabby. So places like that, the season's ending for Europe, but it's prime time to go there. So you can keep them in mind.
Exactly. The ski season finishes in the Alps, and that's when it moves and shifts to as you just said, you know, the sort of Scandinavian areas. And Alaska, you know, and Baffin Island, my favorite dream place to go. They only have an Iceland. Not so much Iceland, but Alaska and Baffin, 4 weeks, April is the kind of the time to ski, and that's it. And that's their prime winter, isn't it? We've said before, I think, Iceland or somewhere like that is April to June, and then there's a bit of a break, and then you go to Patagonia. Are you there? Oh my God, I thought you were just not moving because you were bored, but you've just frozen. Hello, Emma. Right.
What the fuck happened?
I don't care. There's this really funny bit where I'm talking to myself for ages and it looks like I just thought you weren't moving. And I'm like, okay. It's actually really funny.
It just froze. You're like, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, we were just talking about how the season shifts from here to, you know, north, and you've got their ski season's marked, you know, now till June. And then almost there's a little gap. And then from June, you go July to the Southern Hemisphere. Patagonia, Chile, Australia, New Zealand. And then that's what, July, August, September. And then you come back to Europe, October, the glaciers and Tiene and stuff. November, you're back in the Alps.
Yeah, just follow the snow like Woodsy does.
Yeah, exactly, like Woodsy. Also, your sunscreen. Should we talk a bit more about sunscreen? I think it's actually a really good point. A, what brands do you use? Top tips for the listeners. And B, I have always worn Factor 50 every day of my life, because when I was skiing full time, I would always wear Factor 50 on my face, and I've now continued that, and I do it still in London.
Interesting. Very sensible, Bells. Sensible. I'm kind of the opposite. I kind of tend to go for the burn, which is not good. But yeah, the P20 sunscreen is really good.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah, that is
non-oily. Like, you just spray it on you and it just like goes into your, yeah, it's nice and non-oily. That's the one I use. What do you use?
Great. I use, because I'm vain, and also the thing is, you go brown, I don't really. I use a tinted sun cream, Factor 50.
Yeah.
So I use one, a French one called Sun Pass.
Ooh.
And I love it.
What's that really nice smelling one that's like, that I also love?
Is Gwyn.
Yeah, yeah, love that. That smell, oh my God, just reminds me of.
That smell is so good. I love that sun cream.
Yeah.
There's another one that we've been working with a bit for clients, isn't there, that's really quite good. Is it Sun Tribe?
No.
Or Holly put it on our Instagram. And also for your lips, shout out to Albus and Flora, the best.
Yeah. Bells, what were your top three moments of the non-existent ski season for some?
Well, can we do top?
Or of the pod.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, my ski season's been the worst of my life. You know what? It's almost like, what are my top three shit things? So
I can tell you mine if you want to think.
Yeah, I'd love to hear yours, please.
I enjoyed, well, of the pod, quite enjoyed interviewing Leveson Wood, ever so handsome. I also enjoyed, I quite liked, do you know what? I quite liked, actually, even though it was frustrating, just living the winter through people like our friends and whoever who are out in the resort, because it just did look so beautiful, like all uncrowded and beautiful, like empty mountains. And it kind of felt nice that mountains were having a bit of a rest, I guess, even though there were obviously resorts open. But it's quite nice just to see beautiful pictures. And, well, actually, it's quite shit in some ways, but...
No, I think that's such a nice way to look at it. Give the mountains a little rest. It's very tiring for them.
Yeah, a little year off. All the marmots can enjoy their little time on their own. I also quite enjoyed watching you ski touring in Hampshire. It's quite funny.
I think that cracked you up so much. You were like, she has lost the plot.
I was a bit worried. No, but I was quite impressed. You actually went out. Did not enjoy that we had zero snow where I live, but there we go.
I loved, one of my favourite moments was, I loved you. This is good, actually, reminiscing about our happy times podcasting. One of my moments was when you started becoming an influencer and started doing your snow Fennel pictures.
Yeah, it was a bit tragic. I don't think I'll be continuing my influencer stage.
Oh, I don't know. The main thing I've loved this winter has been the opportunities this podcast has given us to speak and engage, chat to people that we maybe wouldn't have normally caught up with, or caught up with them in a different way. You know, it's almost like a structured catch up, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
seeing it from different angles, people's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talking to people as well, some of them are friends, but some of them that we've got to know over the podcasts has been nice too, because yeah, it's been nice. And it definitely has given me like a pick me up speaking to you every week about skiing. At least we're talking about it.
Yeah. It's
better than just like not.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the big question is next season.
Yeah, what's the first thing you're gonna do? If things are normal, where are you going to go?
It would probably be the Three Valleys.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or Val?
Val's there or Maribel, I reckon.
Yeah. Just go back to the faves, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And also we've had like three holidays cancelled, so it'd just be nice to go and actually go there.
Definitely. We've asked over the series where all of our guests would like to teleport. Emma, where would you like to teleport?
Right now?
Yeah.
Valdezere. You?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It gets to a point where I always think in normal life, you know what I mean? I would say I would teleport to somewhere I've never been or whatever. But now it's been so long, I'm a bit like, I just love to go back to somewhere that I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Val? Or Verbier and see friends, or I don't know. But definitely, I would normally say, you know, Alaska, yeah. Baffin Island, yeah. But funnily enough, you're quite right. I'd love to just ski.
And anywhere.
And have a lunch on a terrace somewhere.
Oh, that would be nice.
Folly juice.
Yeah.
Drinking a Hugo.
Just sit in a deck chair anywhere with a mountain in front of me and, yeah, drinking a beer or a Hugo.
Annoying, but can I go for a wee wee? Do you mind?
Of course not.
Sorry, I'll be really fast. Oh, sorry, that's better. You'll be very excited next time you come to the office. We've got a very smart new tap in the loo.
Yay, that's exciting.
And I also just picked up our post on the way back, and talking about friends in Verbier, Emma Cairns has just sent me a card, my birthday card, and guess what? It's not a unicorn, it's a zebra, but it's an iron-on patch. I'm probably going to put it on my jacket because, like, I think everyone just thinks I'm a child.
I'll just do a quick summary of everyone who came on, where they said they would teleport to. So, having said everyone said Japan the other day, they actually didn't. I was exaggerating, which makes a change. So Graham Bell said Japan. Shemi said Japan. Andy Bennett said Scotland. The Cresta guys said Alaska. Julia Perrone, vegan. Levison Wood said the Sierra Nevada mountains. Jazz Bruce and James Duffield said Alaska. Michaela Chattel said Stard. Will Greenwood, San Juan. Zoe DePass, St. Anton. Pam Thorburn said Big White in Canada and Japan. James Woods, he said, well, first of all, he just was obsessed about the whole teleporting thing and loves the idea of teleporting. But he kind of said, didn't he? He like wants to do everything. So it just depends on the season, who he's with. Mentioned Norway. Yeah, it depends on the crew. Amy Marwick said Scotland. Gabriella Le Breton said Aspen.
Great. So essentially, top choices are we've got 3 Alaska and 3 Japan, top place.
Yeah, good choices.
Yeah.
And then Pips Taylor will tell us hers later.
What about most talked about moments on the podcast season 1?
Well, we've had a couple of funny reviews about Bella being the ditzy one and me being the straight man, which I had to Google because I didn't really know what that meant. The straight man is stock character in a comedy performance, especially a double act or a sketch comedy or a farce. When the other comedy partner behaves eccentrically, the straight man is expected to maintain composure. So basically, I have to feed you the lines and then you behave eccentrically.
Oh my God. How have we become a comedy act? This was supposed to be a really serious, informative podcast.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the initial idea, but we'll take it.
My favourite, most talked about moment is your stuffed owl. In fact, what's the update on your stuffed owl?
It's still in the freezer. Hasn't progressed. Still in the freezer, taking up a lot of space.
Oh my God, why don't you sneak him out of... Is it a girl or a boy?
I don't know, actually.
Why didn't you sneak it out of the freezer and replace it with something else, and then a cuddly toy owl, and then go and get it stuffed or whatever you do, and then you could present it to Will on his 40th without him realising?
I should have thought of that. I don't think I have time by tomorrow.
Oh yeah, that's true. Is it his actual birthday tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh.
Big 40. It's very old. Sorry for putting blowjobs in. Maybe should have left out the whole fellatial chat from our last episode, but anyway.
Oh my god, it just went at the end. You had to describe what it meant, which I didn't even know was a thing. Lol. So Ems, what have we discovered? What have you discovered?
Definitely realized how much I say like and cool, which is seriously annoying.
You are cool.
Yeah, but I just, every time someone says something, I'm like, oh cool. Really annoying response. Listeners might not have realized because I then spent hours editing it all out, but yeah, that's quite annoying. What about you?
I definitely, well, I think this matey boy who said that we I'm ditzy or the eccentric thing, I definitely go off on a tangent far too much and it's really annoying. I'm just like, shut up, Bella. I also find it really hard to get my words out in a concise way. So I think I ramble too much and I get annoyed at myself. Also, the one thing that makes me cringe is when we're interviewing guests and I like shout down the computer at them because I'm so overexcited, and I'm just thinking, when I listen back, I'm like, shut up, Bella. And then I'm like, oh my God, why didn't Emma say anything? She probably didn't want to be mean, but like, shut up, Bella.
At least you're animated and excited. I'm just like, what's up?
No, I think, no. I think I need to. What was the most interesting fact of the week, do you think?
I enjoyed learning about North Korean ski resorts, now on the honeymoon list.
Such a good one. Good old Kim Jong-un. Still can't say it.
Oh my God, that's what we've learned, that we're fucking retards at pronouncing stuff. Will was like, why can you not say Kim Jong, I can't even say it now, Kim Jong-un.
And the Heineken.
Yeah, just stuff like that, that you read these things all the time, but you never actually say them.
No.
Because we're recluses and never see anyone anymore. So.
And that apparently, do you think we should correct your deciphering of BC and AD?
Oh dear. Yeah, it's like, Fells, it's after death. AD means after death. I was like, no, it doesn't. It means anno domini, whatever. I was like, all right, okay. Well, also, it makes sense to me. I thought it was after death, after Jesus Christ died.
But the best thing about that is that I didn't even know that it wasn't. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, cool. Okay, thanks. Yeah.
What was your favourite quote of the week?
I liked your mummy's one. It's the whoosh, I've forgotten how it goes now. The whoosh, the whistling wind, the sparkling wonder of it all. Quote.
Oh, yeah, that was a great one my mummy found. I liked that.
And what was your most interesting point that a guest made?
Oh, my God, we could also put each other on the spot and say who was your favourite guest.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you already said that.
I did enjoy Leveson Wood.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that was yours. What was my favourite? Was Woodsy.
You loved Woodsy. You got all flustered. I've never seen you so flustered.
I did, actually. I did. He's just a bit cool.
And now we're going to speak to Pips Taylor.
Excited about this one. We've both met Pips before. She's one cool cat and an amazing guest for our finale, final episode.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. She's a DJ, a presenter, loves dogs and loves skiing, most importantly.
What more could you want? Our perfect kind of gal.
Yeah. Oh, and fashion.
We are absolutely thrilled this week to be joined by Pips Taylor, our final guest of the season.
Pips is a British TV presenter, radio broadcaster and in-demand DJ with an impressive portfolio within the music and entertainment industry.
Throughout her career, Pips has hosted documentaries for BBC Three, hosted live streams and events around the world, and worked with a catalogue of brands. Pips' broadcasting career has seen her host for the likes of BBC Two, BBC Three and The X Factor.
Pips has interviewed Nile Rodgers, Iggy Pop, Khalees and Lizzo, to name a few. She's worked backstage, reported and conducted interviews at some of the UK's biggest music festivals and interviewed on the red carpet at esteemed awards ceremonies. A committed foodie, Pips has interviewed some of London's leading restaurant owners, including the Gladwin Brothers and Mac and Wild, for her Instagram series, Tiny Kitchen Supper Club, which she hosts with her husband.
She also created, produces and hosts the podcast Eat, Rave, Rest, Repeat, and developed and hosts the Groucho Club's podcast No String Vests, interviewing some of the most successful names in the media.
Pips is also a fellow dog lover and has a gorgeous little spaniel called Rocket. Aside from all of this, and most importantly for this podcast, Pips is a super keen skier and lover of the mountains, and we can't wait to talk to her about it.
Welcome, Pip. And, well, we've just seen Rocket, but your lovely doggy Rocket.
What an intro. Thanks, guys. Rocket has actually just been moved to the next door room because you know what he's like. He's louder than I am, so he's, you know, always up for barging in and wagging his tail. Thanks for having me. I'm really thrilled to be here.
Oh, thanks for coming on. Yeah, our dogs are basically the kind of third, fourth guests on our podcast. Usually they're always barking in the background.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad that's okay on this one. I'm always like, Tom, you've got to take the dog out. I'm recording.
Well, stands the much better behaved one, talking to the one that's just like, delivery man, anything, bark, bark, bark. And I'm like,
The delivery person is a problem for us, because if he goes out, he'll chase them down the mews.
Oh,
we're actually doing some work, trying to do some work around it. He'll be like, pow, pow, because he thinks the parcel's for him. So he just wants to grab it out of their hand, which obviously can. Yeah, he is pretty well trained, but just not in that arena.
Yeah.
I think my spaniel's met your spaniel, actually, has met Rocket. We went on that Penelope Chilvers day in Hyde Park.
Yeah, that was so nice. That's actually one of my favourite events of the year, is their dog walk.
Yeah.
Because everyone on it is just so like, well, a dog owner, so kind of slightly barking themselves in the nicest way, just sort of like obsessed with their dogs. And yeah, it's always such a nice group of people. So thanks, Penelope.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Also, shout out to Penelope, because randomly, without even realizing it, I'm wearing the shoes from that dog walk.
Yay! I got some really nice boots, like metallic boots, but I haven't been able to wear them because obviously earlier this year it was just so muddy everywhere because there's so many people out, that I've just been living in Dubarry's for the past 4 months.
Yeah, country girl,
like, not very London, do you know what I mean? There's me like dressed up like a little country bumpkin, like going for a walk. Everyone's like, what's she doing?
Really good in Paris. Oh. So let's talk ski. When was the last time you skied?
So I was actually having to think about this, because unfortunately the last two times we went skiing, our trips got cancelled. So we were due to go. So the last time I went was actually in Arosa in Switzerland in 2018. So that's 3 years ago. Because our 2019 trip got cancelled due to work. We were meant to be going to Morzine. And then last year, we were due to go to Verbier. And then the next day, they shut the slopes, like literally as we were about to fly out, and they cancelled our flight. So yeah, thinking about skiing and actually like going through some of the photos and videos and thinking about this, I was like, oh, I'm desperate to go back. But yeah, I've been really lucky with all my skiing trips, my husband and I, because we go away with one of my best friend's families. So we go to like Val d'Isère and Courchevel quite a lot. And then another friend's got a hotel in Switzerland. So we go and go skiing with them on their resorts as well, which is just amazing.
Amazing.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Sounds like you've got the perfect setup. What's your go-to for skiing? What's your dream day? Do you love bombing on piste, big lunch?
Yeah, so I'm never very good in the morning. However, you've got to try and get up there. So yeah, I like a really decent morning and then quite a long boozy lunch full of like, you know, proper partying, and then rather like intrepid, careful / dangerous ski back down after lunch, which is what it always turns into. And then kind of like après and then home for dinner. But yeah, I love skiing. I'm quite a late learner when it came to skiing. So I actually only really started learning how to ski we did cross country skiing with my family. So I actually grew up on every year we'd go to Aviemore.
Oh wow.
So we did cross country skiing as a family in Scotland. Yeah. And it was only really until I went to school that I realized that downhill skiing existed. So I was like, what? There's downhill skiing? And was lucky enough to go on a school trip and basically was like, this is so much fun. And I could, you know, just sort of, I can get down anything as long as I'm following someone. I snowboarded quite a lot when I was in Scotland, because my brother was into snowboarding, because I love, you know, I was like, looked up to my brother. I was like, I want to be a snowboarder too. So we'd have like loads of lessons. And I learned my lesson the hard way, because I had one of my ex-boyfriends, who's actually still a really good friend. He has a chalet in Courchevel. And when we were at uni, he was like, we're all going to go skiing. There's like a big group of us. I was like, wicked. I was like, get me a snowboard. Thinking that I was like a boarder. And we get there. I get, you know, we all have a massive night the night before, first day on the piste. They're all like really good skiers, like doing all them mega turns. And I'm like, here I am on my snowboard. And I literally couldn't even get to the button lift. I was like dragging it. I kept falling over because I hadn't snowboarded for about 4 or 5 years, kept falling over, and then literally was like sick at the bottom of the button lift, and was like, I think I need some skis.
Yeah.
So it was that trip with, when I think, yeah, I was, I'm 19, I think. And it was that trip with load of uni mates that I had to learn to ski fast, because they were all really good. So I just followed them down and was like, right, bomb straight down. And for that, I'm really grateful. It was very fun. Thanks, Pudge, if you're listening.
I feel like snowboarding is more painful, and like when you're learning, it's just, you can't sort of try and wing it a bit like you can with skiing.
Yeah, it's also painful. Lots more people fall over, I think. Snowboarding. Do you guys board and ski, or just ski?
I've tried boarding, but I fell over a lot, and it's hard work. Like if you fall over, like getting up again is like exhausting.
It's exhausting, trust me. And it makes you feel really sick. Clearly.
I'd love to be good at it though.
My ex-boyfriend was a pro snowboarder, so I used to snowboard, but I'm awful, honestly, like it's embarrassing.
Good. Well, I'm glad that we've all got like bad stories. Mine are mainly bad and funny. I'm you know.
Such a sore bum.
Don't you? Like, all bruised. Oh God. It's really fun though. And actually, I always look at boarders and I feel like there's such a level of aspiration there when they look, then they're like carving up the snow and I'm like, you look so cool. And you can hear them on the ice. And I'm like, it's just that sound is just like, oh, I bet you really fit under there.
Do you have a favourite resort or like anywhere that you go to sort of the most?
I had been lucky to go to quite a few places. I loved St Moritz when we went there. That was amazing skiing. And obviously Val d'Isère has got the après sort of, and you know, the big kind of lunch, the lunch vibes. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy skiing anywhere, to be honest. And been lucky to go to quite a few great places. So yeah, I'd probably say Val d'Isère or Courchevel at the top, because I know them the best.
You've chosen our two top faves.
Yay, I was about to ask you what your favourites were.
Well, yeah, talking about après, so let's talk a bit about you as a DJ, which is pretty cool. Have you ever DJed on the slopes?
No, I haven't. And can we make this happen?
Yes.
Yes.
That's one thing I'd absolutely love to do. And actually, when we were going out to Verbier, well, we didn't make it, my friend had set me up a couple of chats with some of the, you know, bar owners and stuff out there. So I would absolutely love to do a set on the mountain somewhere. Also, I've always wanted to go to Snow Bombing Festival as well, because I think it looks epic. And they always have a great lineup of DJs.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we have to collab and do something mega out in the Alps with you DJing.
That would be so fun.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Did you see that Folly did a live set from the top of the Belvard in Val d'Isère at the weekend? There was nobody there and it looked incredible.
Oh my God, Folly has got to be my ultimate favourite, because you know when you're coming off the slopes, right, and you get to the top and you basically like dust off everything and then you have to like really ski like a god as you're going down, because everyone can see you, and like we're all like, can I help? And we're looking at 80% outfit, 20% ability, isn't it?
So true. Have you got any crazy or funny après stories that have happened to you?
Yeah, I'm not going to include any names on this, but basically I was away with my best friend's family and we'd had a massive lunch and sort of skied halfway down the mountain and we were like, let's sledge down the rest of it. And we were all really quite merry and jolly, and we'd had like, you know, a load of van showed, and it was basically like the last stretch, I think, coming down. I think it was in Val d'Isère. Anyway, we go down on these sledges and it's like cordoned off and we were like, oh, it'll be fine. And we're there with literally my mate's kids, who are sort of quite small, and they're on sledges as well, and we basically all go down a really icy red run. But like head first, but straight down with really, it was basically one of the most dangerous things I think I've ever done. But it was hilarious.
Red run on a
on a sledge. And it was like bombing, and it was also almost dark. Do you know what I mean? So we were there like bombing down and we were like halfway through when we realized we were like, well, the only way is down. Anyway, we didn't even think about getting off. We were like, let's go for it. Thankfully, the kid, like everyone else, was super shaken, but the kids who weren't sharing sledges with adults were like, that was radical right at the end. So we were like, obviously, like the nanny who's like never drinks is like, I need a vodka. We were like, fair enough, mate. We were all like, oh, that was pretty dicey. But so funny, you know, thinking about all those things like you used to do and kind of like those chance things, which we've not been able to do any of, nothing spontaneous like that over the past year. So yeah, that one kind of came out as a rather like mental, but kind of fun, a very fun memory, and definitely learned never to do that again.
Love it.
Listen to the cordons, guys. Don't do it.
Yeah, there's always after a boozy lunch or après, I always think a ski or any way down on snow, it's going to end up something funny. Good stories, anyway.
Something funny or something broken.
Yeah, that's also pretty risky. I mean, I've skied down roads before and my edges of my skis are on fire on the tarmac. I mean, what was I thinking?
That's really cool. Actually, Bella. What about you guys? I want to hear like one of your mental stories, seeing as though we're trading.
I love this. You're the first person because you're an interviewer. You're like, yes, let's turn it around. Yeah, crazy funny stories. Well, me and après, God, I mean, more embarrassing than funny. We've actually done some quite cool client stuff where, or with friends, where we've been like up the mountain late at night, and then you load Jenna or Pear Willamine, and then you'll sledge down, and I am so competitive. So I'm always like, I have to be first. I have to beat the boys. And I will literally risk my life for it. It's like win or just die.
Love it. God, yeah, I'm thinking now. Yeah, mine's probably similar. Like, you know, the Ronnie in Merivale, you can ski down. You stay there till like really late. So it's not like Forley where you have to come down at like 5 or 6. You can stay there till it's dark, and then you'll ski down from that. And my friend just skied into a ditch and broke her elbow. And similar. Just like skiing down when you're absolutely smashed. But yeah, quite funny.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like now I'm a bit more older. In my 30s, you know, it's like you're kind of a bit less risky when it comes to stuff like that. But Hank, like, get me back on the slopes, and I bet that will not be the case.
I know, and every time
let's sledge down with candles. Everyone will be on fire.
Yeah, you think, you know, you just think you're invincible, don't you? After a couple of vodka shots and you've got a helmet on, you're like, Superman. I'm the best skier on the slopes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watch out, everyone. Backflip coming up. Do you know what I mean?
Do you guys do tricks?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're really amazing then. I can't do tricks.
I can't. Bella can.
Do you know what? I got quite into the snow park because of my ex-boyfriend, because obviously snowboarders just back to the park. So you just get into kickers and rails and all sorts. But I broke my leg badly on a rail. I'm definitely a backcountry girl, not a park girl.
Well, how did you break it, if you don't mind me asking? What trick were you doing?
Do you know the rails that are like a rainbow?
Yes
Like this. I was basically like on the top of that, and I basically just didn't have enough speed and slipped off. And so my leg just went the wrong direction. But the problem is lesson learned is that because I ski hard on piste, I've got my din and off piste. I have quite a high din setting on my skis. So basically that just means that they're quite tight to my boot.
Right.
So they don't fall off easily. They don't release easily.
Okay.
Obviously, if you're skiing fast and stuff, they would fly off too easily. If not, obviously, you should always have your dins a lot lower in the park, because you want them to be able to come off when need be. So you're not going fast.
Right.
So they basically just didn't come off.
So top tip for anyone listening there. Love that.
Top tip, anyone.
definitely for me next time I'm down the park next week.
Next time you're hitting that rainbow rail, babe. Well, when we do our DJ trip together, all of us, we're going to go skiing together. Epic.
Okay, and you can teach me some tricks.
Yeah.
Because even slaloms, you know, like the kids, they speed past me. I'm like, they're literally half my size, and I don't know, I'm small, and they're off they go like really, really fast. Whereas like, meanwhile, we have a ski group called Weekend of Death, and there's a trophy, and we do like competitions of skiing. I generally don't kind of get that involved, because the boys are like really, really like fierce, and they're amazing skiers as well, obviously, because they've been skiing their whole lives. So I'm more like morale on the sidelines. So they're like, no, go on, do it, try it. We won't include it in the sort of the tally for the weekend. And that's when all the kids sort of overtake me. But I get down and I do fall over as well.
Okay, off at après, favourite restaurant in the Alps. I feel like you might have answered this.
Well, I mean, I love the Folly Dudes, because I love the entertainment. And I think it's so extra. that it's just like, it's just part of skiing. Do you know what I mean? And to be honest, anywhere that serves a decent tartiflette, I am in, because that is my choice on the mountain. And every time I'm here, you know, we've got actually a really amazing Swiss cheese shop called Jumi up the road. And I'm like, it's time to do fondue. I'm missing. I've not got my tartiflette fix.
Girl of my own heart, tartiflette. Oh, the best. Yeah. I actually think that would be my death row meal.
Oh my God, I love that.
I think it would be.
Yeah, pretty good.
I'd maybe try and have that as a starter. And then
I don't think you could fit a whole tartiflette in you, babe. You're so tiny.
You'd be surprised.
and let's move on to fashion.
Oh, so yeah.
What do you wear in the mountains? What's your favourite? What's your get up?
Okay, so this is actually quite funny, because until I was sort of, I would say late 20s, don't laugh at me, but this is quite outrageous, I was wearing age 12 ski gear.
What, because of your size?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So I was wearing like really kind of like basic salopettes. And then I was going to all these smart resorts with my friends, and Tom, my husband, was like, I think we need to sort this out. And I was like, yeah, so do I. So after quite a few trips, it was like, and my mate's parents were like, Pips, maybe sort of that. I was like, because obviously they're on like really snazzy, like gear. But I have to say, it was comfy. It did the trick. It was just, you know, pink salopettes and a black top, but it was all like age 12 for a child. And then I had to sort of get rid of all that because I was upgrading as a really chic skier, but I'm not that chic, as you can probably imagine. No. So I have these amazing salopettes. I can't remember which ones they are. They've got the stars all the way down.
Perfect moment.
No, they're not those ones. They're another one, I think. The thing is, I was going to try and get everything out, but my ski gear is like vacuum packed right at the top of the wardrobe.
So is mine, it's miles away.
And I forgot to get Tom to take it down so we could have a look. So I've got that, and then a really amazing like maroon jacket, because I always try and get everything in the sale, because that's the northerner in me. I love a bargain, even though ski gear is not really a bargain. So I've got a maroon jacket, which has got like a trim hood, which is really smart. I think you saw it when I sent that dancing video yesterday.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've actually got a silver and black zebra print onesie that I have never worn that I got.
Wow.
And it is so ridiculous, and I've still never been able to wear it. And actually, I think after lockdown, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get in it. But that is going to be the first thing. I almost wore it for this interview because...
Oh, my God.
And I was like, they're going to think I'm mental, so I won't do it.
No, that would have made me so happy. Well, look, the zebra one piece should be your DJ outfit for your set that you do when we ski together and do this whole cool day.
I'm loving this. I can see it already. I can visualise it already.
And all our listeners are going to be invited. And then all of them, I'm sounding like we've got so many, and they're all going to come out and we're going to have this mega session in the Alps.
Let's do it. Please, can we do it?
No, I'm on it. I love it. I love an idea like this.
It would be so fun to just get a really good crew together. And
100%.
But the thing is that I have a fear that you guys are such serious skiers. Mm. And I'm like, because I've never skied off-piste. I've only ever skied on-piste. And I'm like, I'll get down a black run following an instructor, but I'm quite careful. But red runs I'm very comfortable with, but I'm definitely not the best skier. Babe, but I love it.
Black runs, it sounds like you're really good.
Yeah.
Done like one or two, but I hate holding other people back in the group. Do you know what I mean? Especially when they're really, really always like, go ahead, I'll be coming down in my own time.
I think we'll ski and then folly equal measures, you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy to clock off for
and then we'll have a danger ski at the in the evening. Yeah, because you can't miss out the danger ski.
Gotta have the danger ski.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, so moving on, just a bit about music. You've interviewed so many amazing musicians. Who were your favourites to interview?
Do you know what? This is such a difficult one because, I suppose over the years there's been so many different people, but one that really stands out is Grant Nicholas, who's the lead singer from Feeder. So he has obviously been making music for like over 20 years. So he's absolutely brilliant. And also Nile Rodgers. I am such a massive fan of his and work with him quite a bit. So I've interviewed him several times, and he's just like the stories that he has and the people that he's worked with, the collaborators, the albums that he's made is just like, oh, it's just phenomenal. And he's so cool. He's just
behind like any song you think of Nile Rodgers, basically.
He's the hit maker.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is that, you know, these days, I swear he's in the studio every single day with a new up and coming artist, because he's got such a huge legacy. and such a huge repertoire, but he's always like challenging himself and always wanting to help the next generation of artists and collaborate and use his knowledge. And I think that's just really phenomenal.
Legend.
He's super active. He is a legend. You're right. Such Let's get him to the Alps as well.
Yes. Oh, this is going to be one hell of a trip. Podcast. Okay, so eat, rest, rave, repeat. Tell us.
Eat, rave, rest, repeat.
Oh, I've got that wrong. Sorry. Eat, rave, rest, repeat. What's it about and what are your top tips or for us podcasters?
Okay, so eat, rave, rest, repeat, I do with one of my best mates, Simon Atkins, who is hilarious. We basically love eating and cooking. We love raving and going out and have a big night, but we also like to look after ourselves. So the Eat, Rave, Rest is basically we have a guest each week and they talk to us about the way that they and recently obviously it's been kind of how they eat and have a good time at home and then how they look after themselves. So it's basically like the weekend from your Friday night to your Sunday, how you spend it, what you're putting in your body, how you're looking after yourself, how you're having a good time, what you're listening to. So we've had some wicked guests. We've had James Haskell, who's been like brilliant and actually one of my favourites, and Laura Whitmore, Vic Ooh. Hope, the Gorgon City, who are amazing DJs. So we did like a whole Ibiza special. So please check it out. Little plug for my podcast there. And I love podcasts. I think they're brilliant. And I think actually now that, you know, since the kind of pandemic with coronavirus and actually being able to do everything on Zoom is, I think it's so much easier, but they are a lot of hard work. I think that's people don't realize until you're actually doing one is like how much work and prep and editing it takes. I mean, you guys are smashing it. So just keep enjoying it. You know, make it easy for yourselves. Just make it as easy as possible for yourselves.
I think it's been good in lockdown because, as you say, everyone's available to talk on Zoom and rather than going into a studio. And it's just nice to, like, when people are just on their own, it's just nice to listen to someone else's conversation. It's not like listening to the radio where it's like presenting. It's like
exactly. But I have to say, I can't wait to get back into the studio and actually like see people and like touch their faces and like see emotion on people's faces. You know what I mean? I feel like we're spending so much time on our screens, which is a necessity. But for me, like, I'm a people person. Like, I need that connection and I need that kind of, you know, I'd love to just sort of like, you know, be around a table, like laughing with you guys. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, it's great that we get to be on Zoom, but we can do that lots when we go on a ski trip.
Okay. Bring on next winter, hey? So how did you get into presenting? I always admire presenters. How did it all start?
Well, so for me, I've always wanted to be a presenter because I've always been like quite curious and inquisitive and love people. And I actually got spotted by MTV at the Big Chill Festival when that was still going many moons ago. I think it was like 2007 maybe. And basically the producer there sort of spotted me. I made a showreel, sent it to him. I got an agent and then I went into TV production and basically worked my way up as a sort of up to a researcher and then presented, you know, with doing obviously because I'm self-employed and freelance, you do lots of different jobs. And that's how it started really. And yeah, here I still am somehow. Like 13 years on.
It's great.
Yeah, I love it. And I just think it's really fun. But I also think if anyone who's listening or who's interested,
that's what I was
I reckon my top tips would be like, definitely find your niche, have fun with it and just keep going because you get a lot of knocks. You've got to have quite a lot. You've got to have like skin, like rhino skin. But when there are big highs and you've got amazing jobs and you're, you know, flying all around the world doing music festivals and stuff, it's great. But then there's also, you have to be comfortable with the downtime and the sort of the off when you're like, shit, I'm not really sure what's coming in. Do you know what I mean? So you have to always create your own opportunities. That's been my approach anyway. And, you know, create lots of projects. And I suppose this past year has been a real eye opener in terms of, I think for everyone, for all of us, of kind of, you know, what do we actually want to be doing? Who do we want to be with? Where do we want to be? And we've all been forced to take that time. So yeah, it's good.
What's your like favorite things about presenting? Like your fave parts of it? I guess meeting
the people I'm a nosy bitch. So the storytelling, you know, everyone has got a story no matter who you are. And it's all, I always feel that everyone's story is important. So if I can help someone tell their story in some way, then I feel really happy about that. And I love it. Really different. Yeah. So I've not been asked this question for forever really. So
What would you be presenting when you've done anything from, say, for example, something on BBC Two, and like what were you doing in the X Factor?
So I first started off doing documentaries for BBC Three. So I hosted a documentary called I Never Said Yes, which was all about the unreported rape cases in the UK. So that was, I started with really heavy hitting investigative journalism. Wow. And that was actually the most watched documentary on iPlayer.
I know.
In 2013. Yeah. And it was the thing that was, the hardest. And it's still the thing that I'm one of the most proudest that I've done. And unfortunately, it's coming up to sort of the 10 years since we did it. So I'm actually hoping that we can do a revisit. I'm pitching it at the moment because actually when you look at what's changed, unfortunately, not much has. So I started off doing that and also doing things like red carpet for the Brits at the same time. So I've always done entertainment, but been able to kind of do the factual stuff because there's sort of, you know, there's two sides. We all have like that kind of slightly more serious and important side, and then there's also the fun side. And then the X Factor, I was their online presenter for 2 years. So you'd have obviously Dermot on the main show, then there was Caroline Flack and Ollie Moores, for example, on the sister show, and then little old me online. So I was the first X Factor online presenter, and that was again really fun. And you know, kind of telling people's stories through music and just the whole package of like how watching how hard all of the contestants worked from start to finish. It was a really interesting one. So I was like the year of Rylan, who's obviously done super well.
Yeah.
I was the first person to interview him, and we do have these little chats. So I do like one-on-one chats basically, which you don't really ever get throughout the series because there's not enough time because everything's sort of done in groups. But yeah, now I do lots of stuff for brands. So those for things like Stylist Live in Manchester, and God, I can't even think, like lots of brand, like lots of social media content for brands, hosted for Adidas, lots of talks, panel talks. And yeah, I've got a couple of new documentaries in the pipeline, which I've been working on. So I suppose I've been really trying to like get back to the TV side of things because it's the past year. But yeah, I can't even remember what your question was. I just waffled on. Sorry.
That's so interesting.
I love
what a career.
Documentary. So I'm so interested. You're about to start a couple more.
The thing is I just feel like you do what you know, and we all go through different things in life. And I feel like with the hard things that happen and the things that you find tricky, I feel a responsibility to sort of bring them to light and share them and kind of get people talking about things because there's so much that happens that people don't share and think, you know, they're kind of, things are difficult behind the scenes and you don't really know. Yeah, I think the more open the better.
What's Sam Thompson's girlfriend called?
Feel better, then that's great. Sorry,
but what's Sam Thompson's girlfriend called?
Oh yeah, Zara McDermott. She's done a really interesting one, hasn't she?
I watched that and it was really interesting. Good on
so
her.
So sad.
I mean,
it's
really sad.
Yeah,
really sad. But that's the thing, like one of the ones, I mean, you know, that we're at the next project that I'm doing is all around fertility. Right. So we're doing a podcast on that and then pitching a documentary at the moment, because that's basically like what I have known for the past sort of 2 years in what I've been through. So, and it's one of those things that women don't really talk about, but we all like, you know, we all have to, unfortunately, at some point go through it and think about it.
Okay, so last question that we ask all of our guests. If you could teleport anywhere in the world to ski right now, where would you go?
Right, do you know what? I would actually go to Aspen because I went there in summer. My brother was presenting a big sort of science conference in 2018, and I went there in summer and it was just so unbelievably stunning, all the mountains, that I was like, I would love to come back here in winter and actually see everything snow-capped.
Yeah.
It would be probably with a load of mates, you guys included. Let's all go to Aspen.
Good choice. I haven't actually been to Aspen, but have you been, Bells?
No, it's top, really high up my list.
Yeah.
I was blown away by how cool it was. The thing with Aspen when I went is it's got such an amazing bar scene and really cool, like, you know, it's very chichi, but you know, it's just so vast and there's so many amazing mountains. And I was just like, I wonder what the slopes are like, because we did some, you know, walking and stuff. And it was just one of those places that I'd love to come back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the one.
Good choice.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
You are just the coolest guest we've ever had. I mean, like, DJ.
Totally not true.
Yay, love your skiing, presenting, all this amazing stuff you do. We love it. Podcast. We can't wait to keep following everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Honestly, it's been so fun and so nice to like reminisce about things that I haven't done for ages. And I am serious about this ski trip.
Yeah, definitely. Me too.
Yeah.
And also, let's get on Ski Sunday. Let's let's get presenting gigs on Ski Sunday.
You should do a whole DJ thing that we can tie in with Ski Sunday. Seriously, we actually could.
Guys, I have no idea how to make this happen, but yeah, I'm totally up for it.
Where would you DJ at Folly?
I mean, well, Folly would be amazing. I mean, I imagine they probably wouldn't let me in there, but probably somewhere probably one of the bars that's really fun.
Or it'd be easy to get you into Farinay or something in Verbier.
Yeah,
Verbier have that really cool festival called Polaris. And I feel like there's like places. I feel like Val's quite saturated, isn't it, with like music? Yeah. So maybe we should go somewhere else.
Like so especially with types of music. Obviously, like in the Alps, it's all quite cheesy, dancey pop, which is great because everyone loves it. But I'm more sort of like disco funk, Ibiza.
Yeah, me too.
Dance and stuff. So I can definitely do the more commercial side of it, but
that's
at the same
family.
Time, it's nice to do.
Or like. Yeah, I'll think, but I'll start speaking to a few people because I think it would be mega.
That'd be so fun. And also, I'm desperate to get skiing because last time we went skiing, he bought a really expensive ski outfit that he's basically worn once. But, you know, he's like, I'm just going to invest in from a Zurich like shop. Super kind of like ridiculous. I'm just going to do it. I've done it once in my life. I'm going to invest. And I'm like, does he even still fit into it?
Oh, babe, well, look, so good to see you.
Thank you so much. Thanks. It's been wicked to chat to you guys.
Thanks, Pips.
Take care.
Bye. Bye. This has literally become my favourite thing of the podcast, quizzes. Shall we do our quiz section?
Yes.
We've decided to pull together bumper quiz time for this last episode, and we've got one for Emma and one for me.
What does a wipeout mean? A, landing a trick. B, falling over, usually in a dramatic fashion. C, it's a popular après dance move. Or D, poor visibility on the slopes because it's snowing.
B, falling over, usually in a dramatic fashion.
Correct.
Thanks.
Number two, what does bombing refer to? A, a night where you drink only Jaeger bombs. B, travelling at speed down the slope. C, breaking through the top crust of snow and sinking into deep powder. Or D, setting off the snow cannons to check for an avalanche risk.
Oh, you know what? It's actually, hopefully it's B, travelling at speed down the slope. But you know what?
It could be D
as well. And funnily enough, I love the whole a night where you only drink Jaeger bombs. Let's bomb tonight.
I like all of those answers.
Let's drop some bombs.
Okay, well, you get a point for that.
Thanks.
What is a kicker? A, a homemade wedgie in the snow built for performing tricks. B, a piece with a sharp bend on it. C, a skier who spends most of their time in the park. Or D, a type of snowboard designed for doing tricks.
A.
Correct. Well done. Number four. What is a chatter? A, talking while on a chairlift. B, eating a plate of chips up the mountain. C, when your ski or snowboard shakes because of rough terrain. Or D, comparing the number of runs you've done with someone else at the end of the day.
C, when your skis and all snowboard shake because of rough terrain. And they also sometimes chatter, you know, when you're going over the pylon on a chairlift and it goes dugga, 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 dugga.
Yeah.
Your skis go dugga, 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 dugga.
Oh, yeah. Correct. Well done. What is the other name given to freestyle skiing? A, looping. B, chipping. C, jibbing. D, jumping.
C, jibbing.
Correct.
This is actually quite an easy quiz, isn't it?
Quite easy. It's getting harder.
Is it? Okay.
Maybe. Maybe not. Actually, no, it's not. What is another name for cross-country racing? A, Nordic. B, international racing. C, Scandinavian. Or D, backcountry skiing.
A, Nordic skiing. The Nordic skiing, yeah?
Correct. What does corduroy mean? A, snow that's been chopped up by lots of other skiers before you. B, the lines left on your legs by your socks after a day on the hill.
Oh my God, what?
So easy. C, the groove texture left on the piece by piece bashers. Or D, a type of material used to make ski or snowboard trousers.
The grooved texture left on the piece by the piece bashers. I love a good first run of the day, first one down the piste, corduroy ski run.
Oh, dreamy. What is best, being a shredder or a ripper? What is a ripper? Anyway, A, either. They are both compliments. B, ripper. This is a term for a good skier or rider. C, neither. They are both insults. Or D, shredder. This is a term for a good skier or rider.
I think they must mean D, shredder, because I don't think a ripper is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. Correct. And last one.
What is a ripper?
I don't know.
An accomplished skier who skis even when he's dreaming. Oh, so no, I got that wrong.
A.
Yeah, A.
One wrong. Last one. What is a snow bunny? A female ski or snowboard instructor, a cute furry animal, a female skier more interested in posing for guys rather than skiing, or when you perform a bunny hop over a small bump.
So I always thought a snow bunny is like someone like you or me who just loves skiing, but I guess they're implying it's a female skier who's more interested in posing for guys rather than skiing.
Yeah, if you Google, my friend Woody was telling me this, Google snow bunnies, there's literally like a company that's like, they're like escorts for the snow.
No, stop it.
Yeah. And then me and my friend made this whole business plan that we were just going to be them.
Oh, yes.
It's brilliant. You're just getting, it's like for, you know, men that want to get out on a ski holiday and they don't have anyone to go with.
And no.
Like these, I mean, they're essentially escorts in the snow.
A young, attractive female skier, sexually active. The promiscuous appropriate ski way of life. Oh my god, I take it back. You and I are not snow bunnies.
No. Anyway, you got 8 out of 9, Val, so well done.
Oh, I'm just so clever. My IQ is so high. Okay, so now my turn. Okay, Emma, quiz number 2. So this quiz is a quiz about, do you know your way around the Alps?
Okay.
Let's see. Did you know where the ski scene from Bridget Jones is filmed?
I thought it was St. Anton.
But it's in Lech.
Oh, close.
So very, very close.
Yeah.
Wasn't, you know the film Chalet Girl?
Oh, wait, I'm thinking of Chalet. I'm thinking of Chalet Girl.
That was St. Anton, you're quite right.
Let's see.
Very, that is good knowledge. Okay, so the first ever Winter Olympics, actually, you know this from your last quiz, was in 1924 in which resort?
Chamonix.
Very good. Since then, it has been held in France a further 2 times. Grenoble in 1968, and then somewhere else in 92. Now, you'll know this because this is the answer you thought it was last time.
Oh, Albertville.
Very good.
A bit out with the dates there, but yeah.
I am.
No, I was.
Oh.
Yeah, I said Albertville for that.
1924 to 1992. Also, I'm mortified that I said that the First World War was 1924. That's obviously the Second World War, everybody. I mean, obviously, I didn't mean that. I was just joking.
Wait, Bells, that's not the Second World War. Because the First World War was like... The First World War was like 1914 to 1918.
Yeah.
Second World War was like 1935, isn't it? Or don't they?
Oh, but it was 24 to 28.
Second World War was 39 to 45.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it was neither.
Oh my God, that's embarrassing. And I'm supposed to be the taskmaster. Okay. Whoopsies. Okay, Val d'Isère featured in the latest 1992 Olympics out of Albertville, as did, you know, the ski jumping in Courchevel, blah, blah, blah. Where in Val d'Isère, what is the name of the slope in Val d'Isère where the downhill is performed?
The Fass.
Very good. And for those that don't know what the Fass is, please may you describe it.
It's a very long, black, sort of icy... Flat. It's not like Mowgli, it's just flat and steep, and if you fall over at the top, you get all the way to the bottom, pretty much. Yeah, in the middle of Val d'Isère, coming down into the centre of the resort.
Yeah, it's actually quite gnarly. Okay, Emma, please, do you know where the longest black run in Europe is?
We did this one last week, Val d'Huez.
Oh, you're quite right. Sorry. Ignore that. Very good.
I've remembered.
Very good. Okay. James Bond frequently finds himself on the slopes. There are, in fact, 7 James Bond films and counting where he goes skiing. 7 in 007.
I see.
Okay. Can you list the most recent film that he went skiing and who it was?
Oh, God, no.
Who's our current James Bond?
Daniel Craig.
Very good.
Spectre. Oh, yeah, we talked about that as well, didn't we? Because we were talking about, I think it's Nick Kitzbühel or something. And it was called, yeah, like ages ago, because I couldn't say Spectre.
Have we actually already done this?
No, this was just when we were talking about Kitzbühel back or somewhere. In like episode 2, and then again, I couldn't pronounce the name of the film. Will was like, you're a retard.
Okay, which of all the James Bonds has done the most films in the snow?
Roger Moore.
Very good.
Hey.
I met Pierce Brosnan once.
Really?
Yeah, he was quite cool. Oh, he basically just said hello to me and then I carried on walking.
That's cool.
A good story.
I think because of our age, because like Pierce Brosnan was Bond like the whole time I was young, like GoldenEye and all those ones. So to me, he is Bond. But then to Will, who's old, he says Pierce Brosnan is his Bond.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's true. And now people would only think Daniel Craig. Who do you think is going to be the next James Bond?
Oh my God, do you know who they said might be the next James Bond?
Page.
Thingy, yeah, the Duke from Bridgerton.
He would be mega.
Yes, he would.
Or I would really like Henry Cavill to be it. The world's steepest groomed run has an average incline of what percent?
Ooh, blimey. I don't know.
It's actually really hard, this quiz. I would not know any of this. 78%.
78%?
Which is ridiculous. And it's in Meyerhofen and it's called Harakiri. Named after the Japanese ritual of suicide by samurai. Would you dare?
Very interesting.
The highest ski resort in Europe reaches a height of 3,899 metres. Which country in Europe has the most ski resorts?
Austria.
Yes, Ems. Very good. It has 275.
Wow.
Which ski resort would you say is the highest in Europe? And what is the name of the famous mountain there?
Is it Zermatt?
Yeah.
Oh, the Matterhorn.
Yeah, good old Toblerone.
Yeah.
I would quite like to climb the Matterhorn.
You should. Maybe it could be your solo trip.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay, I've got one.
Yeah?
When did snowboarding make its Olympic debut?
I know it was late, and I know it was not that long ago, as in, like, because I remember, but I can't remember what year it was.
It's very recent, 1998.
God, yeah, that was recent, wasn't it?
So that's interesting. And when did downhill skiing become an Olympic sport?
We love the positive energy.
In the Second World War.
Yeah, I would have said the first year of the Olympics in Germany in 24, no? No,
apparently,
I'm wrong.
Apparently not. In fact, it's in 1936. I don't really get that. So there's no skiing in 1924 in the Olympics. I don't know what else they did.
No, cross country.
Oh, yeah. Okay, got it. So yeah, 1936.
Because then Arnold Lunn hadn't invented downhill skiing by 24, so I should have known that.
Yeah, God, we really are learning a lot. Where does the word ski come from?
No idea.
From the Norwegian word skio, which means a split piece of wood.
Hey, I like that.
There we go. So that's that for this season.
Emotional.
Sad times. We'll be doing an Instagram poll to get some feedback from you guys. So let us know your thoughts about how we can make series 2 even more amazing. And people you want to listen to, what we can do better, what we can get rid of, what we can add in, all that kind of stuff.
And for the last time in 2021, no. And for the last time, we will love...
Last time till June.
Yeah. We would love to hear your thoughts and questions. And as always, please contact us by email, girlsonthepiece@gmail.com.
And please subscribe to the pod wherever you're listening. Rate us and write a review to help us get the word out.
And goodbye.
Bye for now.
But for now, that's all, folks.
See you in June.
Ciao.